And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, dear faithful, dear children, I wish you a happy feast of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. Even though already at the hour of Annunciation, an angel had greeted Our Lady as full of grace, it was not until at the crucifixion, when Our Lord commanded His mother to Saint John, when the demons were informed of the real dignity and excellence of this great sign which God had elevated over all creatures. At the foot of the cross, the enemies of God saw that Saint John was appointed by Christ as the guardian of His mother, clothed with the powers of the priesthood. And they understood this to be a great sign against their own hatred of God. The devil saw that all the faithful were now placed under the special protection of the Lord, where the powers of darkness could not reach them. Our Lady has certainly been given us as a sign, a pure, spotless ray of hope to a gloomy, sin-filled human race. The humility of Mary prevented Saint John, as long as she was here on earth, to keep this sign hidden until God should command otherwise. But after her assumption, Saint John saw and wrote about her, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. The teaching which we celebrate today, Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, because it is the great sign of God against sin, is for this very reason one of the most fiercely opposed teachings of the Catholic Church. And among those unfortunate people who have attacked against this sacred teaching, there has been much confusion of who this woman of the Apocalypse might be. Most of the Protestant commentators say that this woman is the Church, and even though Our Lady certainly is an image of the Church, we know that she is Our Lady herself. Saint Pius X said, "Everyone knows that this woman signified the Virgin Mary, the stainless one who brought forth our head." And how great and wonderful sign this is to the sorrow-filled world. When Angel Gabriel spoke these words, "Hail, full of grace," Our Lady was distinguished in the midst of men. Therefore, even one of the highest of the seraphim, Saint Gabriel, greeted her like an inferior greets a superior. So powerful was this image of Our Lady as a sign of God's protection that in Old England the inns carried a special signboard on which Saint Gabriel was depicted appearing to Mary. These inns had the name the Salutation, and the inn name the Angel has the same origin. On the sign, Saint Gabriel was shown carrying a scroll on which the opening words of his message, "Hail, full of grace," were written. Our Lady was certainly put us as a sign, this way to the inn, that is, the Church of God. She alone was to be free from the darkness, the devil treading him underfoot. And she was crowned with the crown of 12 stars, designating all of God's elect from the 12 tribes of Israel, governed by the 12 apostles and their successors. To Mary have Christians of all generations looked as a sign to found the redemption guaranteed by Christ. If you travel through the continent of Europe, you can see immense number of churches and sanctuaries dedicated under her name, in cities and in country places. And if you inquire why these have been erected, you will learn that every one of them is a monument of some remarkable favor obtained through her intercession. And the work of the apostles and their successors, by which Our Lady, their protector, was crowned, has spread to every corner of the world. I'll tell you one instance what happened to Saint John late in his life. He was traveling in Asia Minor, founding new churches, when he met a nice young man who was smart and eager to learn about Christianity. So the apostle recommended the youth to the bishop of a nearby city. This bishop gave him instruction, baptized him, and took him as a servant to his house. But when the bishop thought that the youth had advanced in piety, he relaxed the domestic discipline somewhat, and then the young man started to use more and more his new liberty wrong. He started to run after wicked things, going from sin to sin, from venial sins to mortal sins, and eventually went so far as to commit robberies, murders, and other such awful crimes. In the end, this young man made himself captain of a band of robbers, and posting himself on a hill near the city, he lay in wait for unfortunate travelers to rob them of life and goods. When Saint John next time visited this city, he asked from the bishop about the young convert of his. The bishop said, "He is dead," with a deep sigh. "How dead?" asked Saint John. "In soul or in body?" "In soul," replied the bishop, "and irreversibly too, for the last man has put himself at the head of a gang of robbers and leads the life of an outlaw out on the mountain." Hearing this, the apostle rent his garment in sign of sorrow. Then he cried to the bishop, "Quick, find me a horse and guide." Springing on the saddle, Saint John set out in haste to seek the straying sheep. As soon as he reached the foot of the mountain, he was surrounded and taken prisoner by the robbers who were in ambush. "This is the very thing I wanted," said the saint to the robbers. "I wanted to fall into your hands. Quick, lead me to your captain." When the young man caught sight of the holy apostle from afar, he knew him at once, and feeling ashamed of himself, he turned and fled. But the saint, forgetting totally both his episcopal dignity and his advanced years, cried out aloud, "Stay, my son, stay! From who are you flying? From your father? Of whom are you in fear? Can it be that you are in dread of a feeble old man who has no other weapons to wound you with than the darts of his love? Stay, my child, stay. Fear not. Doubt not that there still is hope of salvation for you. I take all your sins on my own shoulders. I answer for you to God. I will do penance. I will wash your sins away with my tears. I will give my blood, my life for you. Only stay, my dear son, stay." The young man was pierced by these words of Saint John. He stopped and turned, and keeping his eyes on the ground, threw away the weapons he had with him, ran and threw himself at the feet of the saint, with sobs and groans and a flood of tears. When the apostle saw this contrition, he cast his arms around his neck and mingled his tears and his sobs with those of the penitent sinner, saying, "Fear not, my son, for I solemnly pledge myself to win for you from my dear Lord Jesus the pardon of your crimes." The apostle carried him back to the church, and by his prayers and tears obtained the pardon of his sins. He restored him to the right road of Christian virtue, and even brought him to such high perfection that afterwards the apostle made him the bishop of that town. It is possible, although not certain, that the town in question was Smyrna, and the young man was Saint Polycarp, whose past the discreet chronicles of the church wanted to protect. Dear faithful, the privilege of Immaculate Conception was one-time favor granted to the one single creation among men. But the work of the Mother of the Church, preaching of the Gospel and remission of sins, by which Our Lady herself is crowned, has continued all the centuries of the Church and is going on this very day. This little church of ours has sent her priests all over the country to continue the work of Our Lady's beloved adopted son, Saint John, in bringing the remission of sins to many, many people. We have no big churches of the past, but we do have the darts of Our Lady's love, by which Saint John melted the heart of a hardened robber. Our Father Nkamuke just said yesterday his first regular Sunday Mass in Nigeria, under the protection of Our Lady, leading the people to the inn of Our Lady, that is, the Church. So in the midst of all the troubles of the world, we celebrate with joy this feast. As Saint John repeated the words of the angel to Mary, "Fear not," to his penitent, so do all of our priests in today's sorrow-filled world do. The angel repeated these same words to the shepherds and then said, "I evangelize to you great joy that shall be to all people." Truly, through Mary, it has become true to all those who fear the Lord, the words of today's Mass: "Rejoicing, I will rejoice in our Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, because he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." May our Immaculate Mother grant you joy of your salvation, and may God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.